we conclude our series entitled Sandcastle Kings. Everybody say, aw. But how many know the good news is, even though it's the last message in the series, Sandcastle Kings, we've had a revelation. And the revelation is that God always saves the best. He always saves the best for the last. And so today, as we conclude the series Sandcastle Kings, I believe God, this will be the best message in this series, because this will be the last message in this series. And God always saves the best for last. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 7, we're going to read the last story of the four stories that we've been looking at for the past 4 weeks in chapter 7 of Luke, which are four amazing stories of individuals that built their life upon sand. But the good news is, even though they built their life on sand, one of them built their life on self, the other, the sand of others, the third one, the sand of religion. And today we're going to talk about the fourth and final amazing story of this woman with no name that built her life upon this world. And the good news, as we've looked at these four amazing stories, and we look at the last and final story today of a woman with no name, as they built their life on sand, they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, who is the rock. And as they had a collision with Christ, everything in their life changed. And no longer did they build their life upon a shaky foundation, which is sand, but they began to build their life on a firm foundation, Jesus Christ, who is the rock. This morning, we look at the final and last story in Luke chapter 7. And I've entitled this message, The Woman with No Name. It's interesting because here in America, the most common bankruptcy here in America is called Chapter 7. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe there is a Hebrew word for coincidence. And here we are in Chapter 7. And we're looking at the last story in Chapter 7 of a woman with no name, who built her life on sand, a sandy foundation of this world. And here in America, we have a form of bankruptcy, which is called Chapter 7. And the principle behind this law of Chapter 7 bankruptcy is to eliminate all debt. And here we find a woman with no name. She had built her life on the sandy foundation of this world, and she was in a lot of debt. But the good news this morning, she had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And through that encounter with Jesus Christ, just like Chapter 7 bankruptcy frees you from debt, Jesus Christ freed her from her debt of sin. And my prayer this morning is that this morning you would have a revelation. We were born with a debt, a sin nature that we couldn't pay. But because of God's only Son and God's love for you and God's love for me, that he sent his only Son, Jesus, and his whole reason for living was to die, to pay your debt so you could go free. And this morning, my prayer is that you would have a revelation that Jesus has already paid it all, and therefore, he has set me free. We pick up the story this morning in Luke chapter 7. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're looking, say I'm looking. In Luke chapter 7, we are an off-the-wall church. We read the scriptures off the wall. We love reading out of the Bible. In Luke chapter 7, we pick up the story of a woman with no name in verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. Notice, Jesus wasn't afraid to go to the religious people's life, the houses in that day. He wasn't afraid to go to a Pharisee's house. The Bible says Jesus was at the Pharisee's house. And when he went to the Pharisee's house, Jesus is a cool cat. He's just reclining back at the table. Isn't Jesus so cool? He's at the religious guy's house, the Pharisee's house, and there he is. He just comes into the party, and he just kicks back, and he reclines back at the table at the Pharisee's house. The Bible says in verse 37, a woman, everybody say a woman. Say a woman with no name. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life. This woman lived a sinful life. She had sold her body probably all of her life to make money. She had bought into the world's way of thinking that for her to be loved and liked, she would have to go the way of this world. And therefore, she made some poor choices in her life. We must realize this morning, we make choices, but choices make us. I'm 46 years young, and I'm a sum total of the choices, whether they be good choices or bad choices. I'm a sum total of the choices that I've made up to this point, 46 years young. This woman had bought into the lie of this world. She had built her life upon the sandy foundation of this world, and she had made some poor choices in her life, even selling her body as a prostitute to make money. And the Bible says, because of that, she lived a sinful life. And she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So what did she do? After she heard that Jesus was in the house, she had lived a sinful life. She was ready for a new beginning. Someone had to tell her. For the Bible says she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So what does she do? So she came there into the Pharisee's house, and she came with an alabaster jar. And it was an alabaster jar worth a year's wage of what she had made by selling her body in prostitution. And there she had learned Jesus was in the house, and therefore she came to the house. And she not only came to the house, but she came ready to give. And the Bible says she came with an alabaster jar of perfume, 1 year's worth of wages that she had earned. The Bible says, as she stood behind him, Jesus, at his feet, she was weeping. And she began to wet Jesus' feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on Jesus' feet. The Bible says in verse 39, when the Pharisees who had invited Jesus saw this, notice how the religious folk reacted when Jesus began to touch a sinner. You want to see the religious folk, who the religious folk in the church are, begin to touch sinners. The Bible says when this sinful woman was touching Jesus, the Pharisees who had invited Jesus saw this, and they said to themselves, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Verse 40, Jesus answered him, the Pharisee Simon, who had invited Jesus to their house. Excuse me, I might need that little walker there, Tammy. Simon the Pharisee had invited Jesus to his house. And the Bible says, Jesus answered Simon, I have something to tell you. And Jesus said to Simon the Pharisee, as he said, "Tell me, teacher." Jesus said in verse 41, he began to tell a story. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 5 denarii, and the other owed him 50. Verse 42, neither of them had the money to pay the moneylender back. So the moneylender forgave. Everybody say forgave. So the moneylender forgave the debts of both. What a powerful story. The Bible says, as Jesus asked a question, Simon, the Pharisee, which of them will love him more? Verse 44. Then Simon turned toward the woman and said to him, to the Lord Jesus, it's the one who was forgiven more is the one who would love more. Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but this woman, she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not kiss me, Simon, but this woman, from the time I entered this home, has not stopped kissing my feet. Verse 46, Simon, you did not put oil on my head, but this woman, who you call a sinner, has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Then the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word today, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, this woman with no name. As we minister this word today, God, someone is going to get a revelation. And someone is going to receive a name change this morning. As you cancel their debt today and you forgive them of their sin, I thank you, Lord, today someone is going to place their trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? So this morning, the last story in chapter 7 is a woman with no name. I want to ask you a question this morning. Has anybody ever rented a car? And when you go rent a car, it's not your car. And therefore, you usually buy the $12 insurance. But if you're like me, when you rent a car, because it's not your car, you don't own it, how do you drive that car? Come on, let's be honest this morning. You usually don't drive it like you would drive your own personal car that you own. And because it's not your car, and because you're renting the car, you kind of maybe go a little faster than you should. You take those turns a little harder than you should. And you do things in that car. You're very careless with that car. Why? Because you don't own the car. And because you're only renting the car, and it's not yours, you don't own it, you become very careless with that rental car. How many have ever stayed in a hotel? You've been on vacation, you've been on a business trip, and you go to the hotel, and because you don't own the hotel, you're just renting the room. It's not your house. You don't own the house. You're just renting the room. How do you treat that room? You throw your towels on the ground. You could care less how the room looks like. You throw your trash on the ground, in the trash can. But you don't treat the hotel room like you would treat your own home. Why? Because you don't own it. And because you're renting it and you don't own it, you're very careless with it. But let me ask you a question. When you own something, maybe you own a car. You just bought a car, and it's your car. How are you going to treat that car? You're not going to be careless with that car like a rental. Because you own the car, you're going to be very careful with the car. You're going to be very careful where you park that new car because you own it and you don't want anybody to scratch your car. You're not just going to let anybody drive your car because it's your car and you own it, and you want to be very careful with that car. When you rent something, you're very careless with it. But when you own something, you're very careful with it. And the God that we serve loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, not to rent you, but he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross because God wants to own you. And when you own something, you're very careful with it. The Bible even says that you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And therefore, you must realize God didn't send Jesus to die on the cross just to rent you and be careless with you. But he sent his only son, his most precious possession, his only son, to die on the cross and to buy you back, to redeem you, because he wants to own you. And when he owns you, he's very careful with you. We all know the verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, cast all your anxiety or cares on him. Why? I like this part. Because he cares. He's careful with you. God loves you. He's bought you back. He's redeemed you through his only son, Jesus Christ. And because he owns you, the Bible says you can cast your cares upon him because he's careful with you and he loves you and he cares about you. This woman had been labeled by this world as she built her house upon the sandy foundation of this world. And she had been labeled by this world, and the world knew her not by her real name. We don't even know her name. All we know about this woman is that she had been labeled as a sinner. And one of the most powerful names that I believe Jesus holds in the Word of God is a friend of sinners. Knowing that I'm a sinner and born with a sinful nature, I believe the most powerful name that Jesus and title that he owns is the friend of sinners. And here is this woman with no name. She had been labeled by her sin. And she was called and known in her city as a sinner. What if you weren't known by your name? What if you were only known by your sin? And people would come up to you and you would have to tell them your sin. And that's the only way people knew who you were. And they said, hi, what's your name? I'm Greed. Well, what's your name? I'm Lust. Well, what's your name? Unforgiveness. What's your name? Pride. What if people only knew you by your sin? Well, this woman with no name, she was only known by her sin. That was the label she wore. She was a sinner. And when she came to the house, because she had learned Jesus was there, how did the religious folk treat her? The Pharisees said, I cannot believe that sinner would come to our house. How do we as the body of Christ, Christians, treat people when they come to the house of God? Many times, we treat them just like the Pharisees treated this woman who had no name but was labeled by her sin. The only army that I know of that kills their wounded is the army of the Lord. I'm going to say that again. That was some good preaching, Pastor Matt, for such a good-looking, bald-headed pastor. The only army that kills their wounded is the church, the army of the Lord. That when people come in with different mistakes they've made in life, we kind of stand away from them. We don't accept them. We don't embrace them. That's a religious spirit. And when you begin to embrace sinners and you begin to love on sinners and pray for sinners, just like Jesus did as he touched this woman that was labeled by her sin, religious spirits will start to pop up. And I'm here today to tell you that God wants to change your name. This world might have labeled you by your sin, but today the good news is, if you'll let him, Jesus wants to give you a brand new name. Jesus is in the business of giving people new names. Simon encountered Jesus. He changed his name to Peter. Jacob, the trickster, the con artist, encountered the Lord, and the Lord changed his name to Israel. God rules. Abram encountered the Lord, and he believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. Saul on the road to Damascus, killing the Christians, even witnessing the stoning of Stephen. On the road to Damascus, he encountered the Lord. And after he encountered the Lord changed his name from Saul to Paul. Jesus Christ is in the business of giving you a brand new name. But the key is Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, but one thing I do, Paul writing, forgetting what is behind and stretching or pressing or straining toward what is ahead. You got to forget the past. We've all made mistakes in the past. We all have done things we wish we wouldn't have done. But you must realize this morning you cannot unscramble eggs. All you can do is begin right now, today, from this day on, making good choices. But the devil's always wanting to remind you of your past. And if you'll let him remind you of your past, meditating on your past and your past mistakes, you will never go forward in the Lord. That's why Paul writes, forgetting those things which are behind the past. He was Saul before he was Paul. God gave him a new name, but before he gave him the new name, he was killing Christians. But when he encountered Jesus, he got a new name, Paul. But he had to make a decision. I'm going forward. I'm not going backward. And for me to go forward, I can't keep looking back. And my past mistakes and how I killed Christians and made some poor choices. I love the passage that the Lord gave Pastor Tammy and I when we began this church, because it has everything to do with not looking back, but looking forward. It's found in Isaiah 43, verse 18. It says, remember you're not the former things. Basically, the Bible saying through the prophet Isaiah, don't look back. It says, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in your life today. You've been labeled by your sin and your past mistakes, but if you'll let Jesus, today he wants to give you a brand new name. The Bible says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. That's a miracle. And I will make a river in the desert. Today, Jesus wants to do something new in your life. This woman had been labeled by her sin. She had made some poor choices in her life. She had gone and built her house based upon this world. But the Bible says that she learned. The Bible says she learned. And to learn something, someone has to tell you. Someone told her about Jesus. And because someone was willing to witness to her and tell her about Jesus, the Bible says she learned that Jesus was at Simon's house, Simon the Pharisee's house. And because someone told her and witnessed to her about Jesus, she learned about Jesus. And as she learned about Jesus, she went toward her answer, who is Jesus? But what I love about this story is she learned. We don't know the person's name that told her about Jesus, but all we know is someone told her about Jesus, who was her answer. And the only way that she knew to go to Simon the Pharisee's house to hear about Jesus, her answer, was someone had to have told her. This morning, I want to challenge you as a church. We are going to a new level. I hear that in my spirit. And we have made a decision as a church, not just to come to church, but we've made a decision as a church to go to a new level. We have to be the church. And therefore, for revival to take place, for things to wake up, revival begins in you and revival begins in me. As we make a decision, you know what? We're not just going to come to church and be spectators. We're going to come to church and be participators. The Bible even says, how will they hear unless there is a preacher? How will they hear unless someone tells them about Jesus? How did this woman who had no name know that Jesus, her answer, was in the house? How did she learn that? The Bible says someone had to tell her. And I challenge you as I've challenged myself. For us to dispel the darkness in this world that we see all around it, it's going to take some light. And the Bible says you are the light and I'm the light because Jesus lives in us. And therefore, we must be walking Jesus impersonators. Who am I? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Billie Jean. An impersonator, a good one, not me, a good impersonator sounds like the person. A good impersonator acts like the person. A good impersonator walks like the person, responds like the person. We are called to be Jesus impersonators, good ones. We're going to a new level as a church, as we've made a decision consistently every month through our outreach coordinator in this church, Brother Bob Agler. We're going to go out to the highways and hedges every month to be the light of Jesus Christ, to dispel the darkness in our world so people can learn about Jesus. And as they hear and learn about Jesus, they're going to come to the house, the Way Church. And if they don't know Jesus, they're going to place their trust in Jesus Christ. I challenge you this morning If that's your desire, I challenge you this morning, before you leave, go ahead and sponsor a child for $50 with a backpack. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. If you want to go with us to a new level of outreach, you have an opportunity even today so a family can learn about Jesus as we bless them with supplies, a backpack, and supplies for this new school year. This morning, I challenge you to leave. I know Tammy and I talked about it last night, and we're going to go ahead and sponsor one child for each of our children. One for the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That's three, right? And I want to challenge you, whatever the Lord's telling you to do, maybe it's one child, maybe it's 10 kids. We've already committed to 35 kids at least we're going to sponsor as a church. Whether you give or not, we're going to do it, and God will provide. But I want to challenge you, don't miss your opportunity so someone can learn about Jesus, like this woman with no name. Someone told her Jesus is in the house, and she learned, and therefore she went, and her life forever changed. And not only her life, but her name changed. I remember growing up, my mom and dad would take us to a place called Sam's Club. Do y'all remember going to Sam's Club? Did anybody go to Sam's Club? Maybe y'all like Costco, Sam's. Very similar. And whenever my brother, Jarrett, and myself, we would go to Sam's with our parents, we would love it. Because when we would walk down the aisles, they would have these people standing out in the aisles, and they would have free samples. And we loved going to Sam's because we would get the free samples. And we would go up to the lady or the employee, and we would get a free sample. And as we would taste that free sample, every time after tasting the free sample of pizza bites, an explosion happened on the inside. The taste buds began to burst. And after tasting the free sample, we would run to mom and dad. Say, Mom, Dad, they're awesome. Come, we gotta get some pizza bites. We tasted them and they are awesome. Come buy some pizza bites. And 9 times out of 10, because of the free sample that awakened our taste buds, mom and dad invested in some pizza bites, and we were leaving Sam's all because of a free sample. This morning, I'm reminded of that because I want to remind you. That's all we're called to do, is give free samples of Jesus. And when we give free samples of Jesus, it's going to awaken them on the inside. And they're going to want to know who this man is called Jesus. All because you and I gave them a free sample. This woman received a free sample. She learned. And because she received this free sample, she went to the house where Jesus was. And her life forever changed. You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. That's not our job. Our job is to give free samples. Free samples of Jesus. And then God and only God can bring the increase. Listen to what the Bible says in Corinthians. The Bible says in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but here it is, God gave the increase. Free samples, but then God brings the increase. This woman learned. How did she learn? Someone gave this woman a free sample. I challenge you to give someone, Jesus, a free sample, and they're going to say yes to Jesus Christ. After she learned, she came to the house. The Pharisees didn't like it because Jesus was touching this so-called sinner. But I'm so happy this woman didn't let that stop her. The Bible says she came into the house. She came to the answer, Jesus. And as she began to cry and wash Jesus with her feet, or wash Jesus' feet with her tears and dry his feet with her hair, the religious people didn't like that. But Jesus, who is the great physician, he set the record straight. And he said, it's not the healthy that need a physician. It's those that are sick that need a physician. And here this woman with no name was very sick in her sin. And she needed the great physician to give her a new name. And therefore she came to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. And I like this part. I, Jesus, will give you rest. So how do you receive rest? You got to come. If you sit back and do nothing, you won't receive that rest. But if you'll make a decision like this woman made as she learned of Jesus was in the house, she came to Jesus. No religious person could stop her. And she began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. She began to dry his feet with her hair. She found her answer. She found her rest. Who is Jesus? Then Jesus broke out in a story as he begins to tell the story of a moneylender who lent money to two individuals. One individual, he lent them, let's say, $500. The other individual, he lent $50. And both individuals could not pay their debt. And therefore, the moneylender went ahead and made a decision to forgive both the debts. And Jesus looked at Simon, the religious guy, the Pharisee, and he said, who will love more? Who will love more, Simon? And Simon responded, the one who has been forgiven more. This morning, we must have a revelation. We must have a revelation this morning. The level of your worship this morning is determined by the level of the revelation that you've had that you've been forgiven. Think about how much you've been forgiven of. And when you begin to think about how much God has forgiven you through his son Jesus, the things that you've done, the things that I've done, when you have a revelation of the goodness of God through forgiveness, when you have that revelation, you can't hold yourself back. You got to worship. Many times, people who don't worship the Lord, the reason they don't worship the Lord is because they've never had the revelation that they've been forgiven. The Bible says, who's been forgiven much, loves much. This woman who was labeled by her sin, she was the woman with no name. But because she had a revelation that she had been forgiven, she knew the choices that she had made in this world, poor choices, that had been labeled her as a sinner. But because of the revelation that she had been forgiven, she couldn't hold back her worship. She had to worship the Lord Jesus because Jesus was in the house. This morning, as I close, one of the things we love to do in the Woodfield family is we love to eat. Seems like we're always talking about the next meal. And as we love to eat in our family, we're always talking about the next meal. And we must realize whenever we sit down to eat, no matter who you are, it reveals three types of people. When you sit down to eat, it reveals three types of people. The first person, when you're eating and the bill comes, he begins to look around for his wallet. Oh, no. I forgot my wallet. You didn't know we were going to eat? You didn't know there was going to be a bill? And you forgot your wallet? But the first person, as you sit down to eat, that it reveals, it's called the moocher. And it's the person that when the bill comes, they have no way to pay because they forgot their wallet. The second person that is revealed when you sit down to eat is the mathematician. Because when the bill comes, they begin to get out their calculator and they begin to break up the bill. You had the bottomless chips, right? Okay, those were $9.99. You had the cheesecake, right? That was $10.99. And they begin to divide up the bill to make sure everybody pays their portion. But then there's the third person. As you sit down to eat, it reveals, and I call him the man. And he's like David Copperfield, the magician. When the bill comes, there's nowhere to be found because he's already paid the bill. He's the man. No one knows about it, but he's already given the payment to the waiter even before the bill comes, and he's already picked up the bill. He's the man. In our house, my children understand that daddy's the man. And that in our house, when we go to eat, they're not going to have to pay the bill because they know daddy is going to cover the bill. So let me ask you a question this morning. Because they know daddy is going to pick up the bill, do they say to me when I say to my children, let's go to eat, no, dad, we're not going to eat. You always pick up the bill. And I'm so sick and tired, dad, of you picking up the bill. And because of that, dad, we're not going to eat with you anymore. We don't like it, dad, when you pick up the bill. Do we respond like that? Do my kids respond like that to me? Knowing that I'm going to be the guy that picks up the bill for them at dinner? No, quite the contrary. They're like, Dad, we're going to eat? Can I pick the place? Dad, I've been hungry for some lobster. Some fajitas. Dad, I'm excited to go to eat with you. And the reason I'm excited is because I know you're going to pick up the bill. This morning, I'm excited to tell you, 2,000 years ago, Jesus picked up the bill for you. He's the man. And today, yes, thank you, Lord. Today,